Well, good morning, everyone. It's a blessing to be here again on a beautiful snowy day like this. I enjoy the snow. I'm not sure about you all, but it's refreshing to see the beauty of the fields with no tracks in them. It's inspiring. It's nice and clean, real pure. I wasn't sure. I was praying for a couple of days for God to give me something to share, and just in the last couple of days, the subject that came to my heart was bitterness. And I'd like to call this little devotional the danger of bitterness. Now, I don't think we have anything like that in this congregation that I'm aware of. That's not where my heart is, but I uncovered some things that are pretty challenging about this particular thing, the subject of bitterness. I'll start by reading in Hebrews 12, verse 14 through 16. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man should fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. It talks about lest any root. Bitterness starts with a little root, a little seed. And the dictionary definition of bitterness, it is something that will be described as anger and disappointment at being treated unfairly, resentment. And some synonyms that go with that would be resentfulness, embitterness, dissatisfaction, discontent, indignation, sourness. There's a number of other words. But obviously it's not something that we would want to be involved with. And so some of the things that as I was doing a lot of some searching on this subject, some of the things I came up with is bitterness destroys our relationship with others, and bitterness can destroy churches. And it will destroy our relationship with God if we have it in our heart. And it can thrive for a long time without detection. And a person can feel hopeless once it is discovered. Bitterness thrives under the surface and grows once a seed is taken root and starts growing, and it spreads out. Sometimes it'll spring up here and there. It'll reveal itself in various ways. But often, for the most part, it's not, you don't realize it's there. And one thing I found is sometimes it's compared to cancer. It's usually, it would be like stage 4 when it's discovered that I have bitterness in my heart. And then when that's the case, why you almost feel hopeless. How do I overcome this? And it's also compared to carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide is a silent killer. I was just shocked at some things I found out about this. And bitterness is like a disease that let's just say your immune system to. It's not really your immune system, but it will weaken your body spiritually. That if you have bitterness in your heart, it will weaken you, and other sins will easily envelop you. Other sins that you normally would be able to withstand, you'll fall to them. And then a bitter person will be one that will be very reluctant to forgive someone else for whatever reason. A bitter person who is very unforgiving. And here's a couple points that will reveal the possibility that bitterness might be in your heart. I'm just talking to myself too. A bitter person doesn't recognize that they are bitter. They show a lack of concern for others. And they are very sensitive and touchy. And they have a tendency to show little or no gratitude at all for things that they should be thankful for. And they'll tend to hold grudges for a long, long time. And another thing, these are the things that I found. They tend to have a stubborn attitude, and they're very moody, and they have their emotions there. Some days they're high, and the next day they're low. That would be a sign of a person that would have bitterness in heart. The next interesting thing that I found out as I was doing my studies, bitterness is often compared to a willow tree, a weeping willow tree. I was never aware of this, but a weeping willow tree is a very beautiful tree to look upon, to see, and they'll grow from 45 to 70 feet high. But a weeping willow tree, the root system of a weeping willow tree is very, very destructive. If you plant it close to a patio or in the concrete, it will make bumps in your lawn, and it'll lift up concrete. And the root system, if the tree is 45 to 70 feet high, the root system will go up to three times that length. The height, three times that width, it will spread out. It's seeking water. If it finds a drain pipe or water, anything, it'll just wrap around and try to plug up pipes. Anyway, they compare a willow tree root system to a bitterness. A bitterness will start growing, and it just grows and grows and just tangles things up and pretty, oh, sorry. But it's not a good thing. So that's the thing I found about bitterness on willow trees. But then the next thing I want to go to is the parable of the, obviously bitterness, one of the traits is unforgiveness. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the parable of the unforgiving servant. This is in Matthew 18, verse 21. And if it's okay, I'd just like to read these verses and I'll share a couple of things that I found on it. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. This man owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, please have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told him unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after all that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, but thou hast, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I had read that many times. I was curious. I'm sure many of you have done this already, but I had never studied what a talent is. What is a talent? So this man owed, the man that was free, the first servant, he was forgiven 10,000 talents. A talent is a measurement of weight. Therefore, the value of a talent depends on what you are weighing. We don't know if it was gold or silver. From what I have gathered, nobody really seems to know for sure. But let's suppose it would be gold. He owed him 10,000 talents of gold. By today's standards, that would be $11.9 billion worth of gold. The man was forgiven $11.9 million worth of debt. And now I did a little bit more studying on that, and that would be, if you break that down, if you put it on semis, a semi can haul about 24 tons of weight. This would boil down to 6 semi loads of gold. And this master forgave this man. He forgave it all. And then he went and, The next servant that owed him, it was just one day's wages, 100 pence. In today's wages, that would be $8,700. But that's still a lot of money. But in comparison to the first servant and the second servant, I thought that was quite shocking for me. I was just trying to think of, just trying to envision that scenario when the Lord came up to him and the master and said that he wants him to pay him, and he didn't have the money, and he commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. I was trying to envision that. If that would be me, they would sell me and sell my wife, sell my daughter, they'd sell my house, everything I got, they would sell everything. And we'd all be slaves in probably 3 different places. We'd never see each other again. But this man was willing to forgive him. But then he wasn't willing to extend it to the next person down the lane. And it just sort of, that caught my attention. And got one last thing I'm going to share here. The other night, I was going through some of my notes. When I was, before I got converted, I was many nights in my chair, and I'd just be reading Western paperback novels, and my wife would be reading her Bible, and she would be writing for a couple of years, 8-9 years, she'd be writing things down in a tablet, and I often wonder what she's writing. But for some reason, I never, never, never picked up them little buckets and see what she was writing. Well, I was going through that book the other night. I found something I want to read. I don't know if I can do it or not. I'm going to try. Obviously, at that time in my life, I was very bitter. I wasn't going to have anything to do with these new believers. And I was unrepentant. All these things that a bitter person has, that's what caused this, my wife, to be this way. Her life was very uncertain, just sad, no glimmer of light in sight. It just seemed like a hopeless case. So I found this little note that she wrote. She wrote this here, and I found a copy of it. I found the original. She was in despair. To those I love, when I am gone, just release me, let me go, so I can move into my afterglow. You mustn't tie me down with your tears, thus be happy that we had so many years. I gave you my love. You can only guess how much you gave me unhappiness. I thank you. For the love you each have shown, but now it's time I traveled on alone. So grieve for me a while, if grieve you must, then let your grief be comforted with trust. It's only for a while that we must part, so bless the memories within your heart. And then when you must come this way alone, I'll greet you with a smile and a welcome home. My bitterness had caused her so much hurt. It's just indescribable. I praise the Lord that we can be overcomers and get through things like this. And this is all behind me now. I pray I never go back to things like that. But it just really hurt me. It really made me think what I put her through all them years when I was just living a selfish, sinful life. So anybody that is listening in, or anybody ever hears these thoughts, I just pray that if they're not where they need to be with the Lord, that they would take action very quickly. Don't delay. We serve, it's an awesome thing, serving God. I have no regrets surrendering my life to Him. And I just pray that I can stay the course to the end of my days and be with all you guys all in heaven someday. God bless you. That's all I have.